You can be seated.
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by.
Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
That was a clip from the Jesus movie and one of Jesus's most famous miracles, the miracle of healing the blind beggar. It's found in Luke chapter 18. I want to read this the story for you, what we just saw depicted on the screens behind me. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be quiet, be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. Three of the greatest words in the whole Bible. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What an awesome, awesome story. I share this story with you this morning because I believe it provides for us a helpful illustration to introduce the passage that we're going to be looking at together today as we continue our journey through Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. And while it may not be immediately evident, I trust we're going to come to recognize, if we are willing to take an honest look at our lives, that we have a lot in common here with this blind beggar who cried out to Jesus, desperate for his touch. I believe we're also going to discover in Jesus' teaching today the very good news that Jesus is still in the business of stopping, and he's still in the business of answering prayers for those who are needy and desperate for him. And he still performs miraculous works of transformation for our good and for his glory. We're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 this morning. I want to read our passage, and then I want to take a look at what Jesus is teaching us here in this great section of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that you sent your son Jesus into this world 2,000 years ago Jesus, we thank you for this great sermon that you've given us, that we've been studying together this year, and the many challenging words and promises and exhortations that we find in it. Lord, we pray today that you will once again open our eyes, open our hearts to understand and receive this truth. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will illuminate the power of these words in our lives and impress them deep into our souls and help us to live by them and faithfully pursue these words in our own walk with you. And so, Lord, we commit this time of study to you, and we ask that you bless it in your great name. Amen. Well, here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus teaches us a number of things. He teaches us first here a prayer of perspective. This is a prayer of perspective. Now, you might be thinking to yourself this morning, Pastor Jason, what on earth does this passage have to do with a blind beggar crying out to Jesus and then Jesus' healing touch? Well, friends, to fully appreciate our Lord's teaching this morning, we need to read this passage in light of its context. You see, this teaching this morning, this passage really is a prayer for those who have a proper perspective of who they are, of who God is, and what God requires of us as Jesus people. In other words, this is a prayer for those who truly understand the demands of the Sermon on the Mount. I once had a professor in seminary, and I've heard this from numerous people, so I don't know if it came from him originally, but many scholars have made the point that a text without a context is a pretext. And in other words, if you pull a text of Scripture out of its context, you can, in a sense, make it say anything you want it to say. And this is one of those passages that many preachers and Bible study leaders and even us as individuals, it's easy for us to pull these words out of their context and build a doctrine of prayer that wasn't exactly what Jesus intended us to understand in his words here. Many people will read these words and think, well, you know, man, Jesus is promising us here that if we just bring whatever material concerns we have to him, and if we keep praying and we keep seeking, we keep knocking, that eventually he's going to answer those prayers. And of course, we know that it doesn't always work that way, right? And so then we sort of theologize this to say, well, he does always answer those prayers, but sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is wait, and sometimes the answer is yes, right? And not that any of that is necessarily wrong. We get a big theology of prayer as we study God's word, the Bible. But that is not what Jesus is dealing with here in this passage. To understand what Jesus is talking about and the prayer that he is calling us to pray in this passage, we need to read this passage in its context. The great theologian D.A. Carson, he talks about this passage being what is called an inclusio. In other words, it's a bookend to the body of Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, friends, remember, how does the Sermon on the Mount begin? It begins back in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. And what are the very first words of Jesus? Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those men and women who recognize that we have nothing worthy in and of ourselves to offer God. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. We are wholly dependent on God's amazing grace to come into his righteous and holy presence. And then Jesus gives us these radical teachings, these radical demands that we've been studying this year in the Sermon on the Mount. And now as we come towards the end of chapter 7, in this bookend to the main body of his sermon, Jesus now offers us this teaching to ask, to seek, to knock. In other words, friends, we are poor in spirit. And the answer to our poverty in spirit is to turn to the Lord in prayer. And to ask him to provide all that we need to live out the significant demands here in the Sermon on the Mount. This is really a prayer for our sanctification. This is a prayer for our spiritual growth. And so, for example, friends, when we understand the lofty calling that Jesus is giving us here, when we understand the righteous demands of God here in the Sermon on the Mount, friends, remember, we've been breaking this down piece by piece over the last 9 months, but when you read the whole sermon straight through, do you remember what a powerful punch it packs, right? It's almost like we lose that as we study it piece by piece, week by week. But remember the righteous requirements of Jesus here. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his heart. Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife, give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus says, you shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord all that you have sworn. Jesus says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. And if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone sues you for your tunic, give him your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile with him, go 2 miles. Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Jesus says, judge not that you not be judged. Jesus says, take the log out of your eye before you worry about the speck in your brother's eye. And so, friends, we read these teachings of our Lord, and we cannot help but read the Sermon on the Mount and feel the crushing weight of God's righteous standards. If we're being honest, friends, how can any of us reflect on these transcendent words and lofty commands and not recoil in shame as we recognize just how far short we fall? To meditate on the Sermon on the Mount is to recognize our complete inadequacy to live the Lord's teachings in our own power, and to realize just how woefully short we fall of all that Jesus calls us to. And so the Sermon on the Mount, friends, ultimately exposes us for who we truly are: spiritual beggars whose only hope is to cry out in desperation for God's help. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But friends, this is where we discover the amazing grace and transforming power in our Lord's teaching today. Here in our passage this morning, Jesus teaches us to pray as men and women who truly understand what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. This is a prayer for all who are genuinely poor in spirit. This is a prayer for those who recognize that they're simply empty spiritual beggars who have no hope of living these teachings out apart from God's gracious empowerment. In other words, friends, this is a prayer for Jesus people who long for the transformation that only God can provide. And so first and foremost, we understand this is a prayer of perspective. We are spiritual beggars, desperate for God's help, because without him, we have no hope of living out the commands in this sermon. Jesus teaches us, secondly, here in this passage, a prayer of persistence, a prayer of persistence. Look at verses 7 and 8. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, right away here in these opening words, Jesus captures our attention with these commanding words of ascending intensity. Ask and seek and knock. You almost get the picture of that blind beggar on the side of the road crying out, and the crowd rebukes him, and he says, no, you know, shut up, beggar. No, you shut up. Jesus, have mercy on me. He continues to cry out in desperation for the healing touch of Jesus. And we see that here in these words of the Lord as he teaches us to pray, ask and seek and knock. Jesus' words become even more powerful when we understand them in the original language, in the original Greek. These commands are present imperatives. And what that means is they are commands demanding continuous action. So in the original Greek, this literally reads, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. This is the way of Jesus, people. We are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can't get enough. We know we've never arrived. We know there's always greater growth in Jesus. And so our entire lives are given over to knocking and seeking and asking and pleading with God to do more and more to help us grow into the likeness of our Savior and Lord. The Gospel of Luke also records this teaching from our Lord. But Luke includes an additional parable Jesus taught prior to these instructions. Same instructions, but he adds this parable. Take a look at Luke 11, verses 5 through 10. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet, because of his impudence, his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Friends, Jesus adds this parable here in Luke because he wants to make sure we don't miss his point in what this teaching is all about. What is Jesus' point? His point is simply this: as we come to him as spiritual beggars, we are to be passionately, persistently, and unceasingly asking him for everything we need so we might increasingly become more like him, so we might grow as Jesus people. Jesus says, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Friends, perseverance. Perseverance is the key. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Cairo, Egypt. And I got to go see the famous pyramids of Giza. And one of my favorite parts of that trip was visiting the Cairo Museum in Egypt, where they keep all the treasures of Egypt and all the mummies, right? One of the centerpieces of the collection there at the Cairo Museum is King Tut's funerary mask. King Tut's famous golden mask, one of the great treasures of the ancient world. It was awesome to get to see this in person and to just see all the mummies and treasures there in the Cairo Museum. But I was recently watching a documentary about the discovery of King Tut's tomb. It's a great story. It's a story about a British archaeologist named Howard Carter. This guy was literally like a real-life Indiana Jones. I mean, just an incredible like adventurer, explorer. And he was convinced, as the archaeologists were digging through and excavating the Valley of the Kings there in Egypt, and they were discovering tomb after tomb and all these treasures and relics, he was convinced that there was a tomb yet undiscovered. And all the other archaeologists were like, no, we've got it all cleared out. We found everything, you know, scientists and grave robbers. I mean, we've discovered everything there is to discover. But Howard Carter was convinced. He was looking at the clues. He was looking at the evidence. He was convinced there was still another tomb to be discovered. And so he spent decades in the Valley of the Kings looking for this lost tomb, this hidden tomb. He spent 6 years, in fact, just solely focused on looking for King Tutankhamun's tomb. 2 times in that 6-year period, he was within 2 yards of discovering the entrance to the tomb. He was that close. And he kept on searching, he kept on looking. And finally one day he uncovered a doorway. And when they pushed aside the stone doorway, he looked in, and there he discovered the burial chamber of King Tut, filled with all of these incredible treasures. Not only was King Tut there in his golden mask, but all kinds of treasures, vases and awesome paintings and chariots and all kinds of treasure. I mean, it was an incredible discovery, one of the greatest discoveries in archaeological history. And friends, it was Howard Carter's dogged perseverance that ultimately led him to King Tut's treasure. Friends, let me ask you this morning, how much greater our reward when we persevere in praying for God's spiritual treasures? And remember, King Tut's treasure was impressive, but it did him nor Mr. Carter any good when they stood before God. And friends, the same will be true for you too. If you're putting your hope in earthly treasures and earthly rewards, it will do you no good in eternity. This is why Jesus tells us that the treasures he offers are treasures that last forever, treasures that offer eternal satisfaction. But like he says in our passage this morning, to get those treasures, we need to persevere. We need to persevere in prayer. Now, you might be thinking to yourself this morning, you know, Pastor Jason, if God is so intending that he answer these prayers for spiritual growth, if God wants us to look more like Jesus, if God wants us to honor the commands of the Sermon on the Mount, why does he put such an emphasis on perseverance? You know, I mean, why doesn't he just snap his fingers and give us these treasures that he wants for us and conform us into his image? Well, friends, I think the reason is this. One of the greatest treasures that God wants to give us is the faith and trust that we develop as we persevere in prayer. I remember 18 years ago when I was serving as a pastor at another church down in the Twin Cities. I was a youth pastor at the time, and I had felt God's call to ministry on my life. I felt God's call to be a preacher, that God wanted me to be a senior pastor teaching his word every week. And I remember praying about that and asking the Lord, you know, to provide opportunities for me, that God would open a door. And I remember I prayed for, you know, close to 2-3 years that God would lead me to a church where I could preach his word. And I knew that I had this calling in my life. It had been affirmed by many people over the years, and I had a passion for preaching God's word. And I was totally happy where I was. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love serving in that ministry, but I knew God had something more for me. And so I began to pray, you know, Lord, show me where you want to take me. Open the right doors. Bring me to the right people. And over 2 years, God brought many churches my way. I applied for many positions. I candidated at a couple churches, right? I went and interviewed with search teams, and none of them were the right fit. And for various reasons, you know, one after another, I just kept, you know, either being turned down or realizing this wasn't the right spot for me. But I kept praying. After that prayer for 2-3 years, finally, one day, God opened a door for me to come and meet our former pastor, Pastor Rick. Our mutual friend, Wade Carlson, had told me that Lakes Free had an opening for an associate pastor. And a couple days later, here I was in Lakes Free. I didn't know anything about this church. I'd never met anybody here other than my friends, Wade and Roxy Carlson. And I'm sitting in Pastor Rick's office. And we had struck up an instant friendship. I mean, we just had so much in common. And Pastor Rick said, hey, Jason, I'm going to pass your name on to our search committee. A few days later, I'm meeting with the Lakes Free Church search committee. A couple months later, the church membership is voting me in to come and be the next adult ministries pastor here. Now, I hadn't been praying for an associate pastor role. I'd been praying for a senior pastor role. But I felt God's call, and I felt that this was where God wanted me. And God knew that I needed to be here in this position as the adult ministries pastor for almost 10 years before God would pass the baton from Pastor Rick to me to be the next senior pastor. And you know, all that time I was praying and I was trusting and I was believing that God had a plan and a purpose for me. But friends, what I discovered, and as I look back on that whole experience, is that God was teaching me faith. He was teaching me trust. As I persevered in prayer, as I sought his will, as I continually went to him and asked him, Lord, help me to be the person that you called me to be. Help me to find that role to preach and to serve. God answered that prayer, but it took persistence. And it took an opportunity for me to learn faith and trust. You know, friends, I think a lot of us can relate to this morning. Perseverance in prayer and waiting on the Lord, it's not always easy, is it? It's not. We know that. But friends, there are some spiritual treasures we can only discover as we ask and as we seek and as we knock. And as the Lord promises us here in our passage this morning in verse 8, Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus says, persist in prayer. This leads me to point number 3 this morning. Jesus teaches us here in our passage a prayer of promise, a prayer of promise. Let me read our passage for us again, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And then Jesus gives us this illustration. He says, which of one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Isn't that a great promise? Friends, what's Jesus telling us here? He's saying that when we cry out to God as spiritual beggars, we can be confident that God always answers our prayers. Now, isn't that incredible to think about? Right? Just think about what Jesus is saying. God never fails to answer the persistent prayers of those who are longing to grow more like Jesus. God always answers those prayers. In fact, this week as I was working on this message this morning, I almost titled this morning's message, I almost titled it, The Always Affirmatively Answered Appeal. But then I thought to myself, you know, that's quite a tongue twister, right? Try saying that 10 times fast. The always affirmatively answered appeal. The always, right? But that's exactly what we have here in our passage this morning. The always affirmatively answered appeal. Friends, you want to pray a prayer that Jesus will always answer affirmatively. It's the prayer that longs to look more like Jesus. It's the prayer that cries out to Jesus and says, Jesus, let me be the kind of person you describe here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus promises that when we persist in those prayers, longing to grow in him, he will always answer in the affirmative. Now, you might be thinking still this morning, Jason, how can we be sure of this? Friends, we can be sure of this, number one, because Jesus tells us, but number two, as he shares in his illustration here this morning, and as we sang just a few minutes ago, we can be sure because we have a good, good Father. Jesus highlights our Father in heaven, and he says, look at, when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, when you persist in prayer, when you go to our Father in heaven longing to grow in conformity with God's righteous standards for your life, God's going to answer those prayers, right? And you know this, right? Even you parents who are sinful people and evil people, right? You guys, me, we know that when our kids come to us, we do everything we can to meet their needs, right? We do everything we can. If my son comes to me and says, Dad, I'm hungry, I'm not giving him a snake, right? When my daughter comes to me and says, you know, Dad, I got a rumbling in my tummy, I'm not giving her a stone, right? Jesus uses these almost absurd illustrations to highlight the reality that our lives recognize that we seek to give good things to our kids. We see that. How much more then will our Father in heaven give good things to us, his children, who come to him asking, Lord, I want to grow closer to you. Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to grow in conformity with your will here in the Sermon on the Mount. Friends, remember who our Father in heaven is. He's our Abba, our dearest Father, our Daddy. Listen to what God tells the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. What's God saying here? He's saying, look, even the greatest of mothers, even the greatest of mothers can forget their kids once in a while. But God says, I will not forget you. And then God promises the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Friends, understand these incredible promises that God has given us here. God says, look, I'm not going to forget you. God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not turning my back on you. Why? Because he's a good, good father. He's our Abba in heaven. And he's absolutely faithful and wholly trustworthy. And so, friends, when he promises to answer our beggarly prayers for spiritual growth and ongoing transformation, we can be absolutely confident that he will do so. The Gospel of Luke gives us some additional insight into this promise. Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 ends Jesus' same teaching here with a little different twist on it. Luke says this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Friends, you see the difference between Matthew's account and Luke's account? Matthew says, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Luke records Jesus saying, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Now understand, friends, there's no contradiction here. This wasn't a mistake. Okay, this is probably a teaching that Jesus shared on multiple occasions, and in probably in different circumstances, he may have said good gifts, and in other times he said the Holy Spirit. But understand this, when Jesus says good gifts and the Holy Spirit, they mean the one and the same. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who gives the good gifts, who provides the good gifts that help us grow more and more into conformity with Jesus Christ. So whether you're talking good gifts or Holy Spirit, when we go to the Lord, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, when we long to look more like Jesus, he gives us good gifts. How does he do that? Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look at these promises from the New Testament. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. His divine power has granted to us all things. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. How do we do this? Jesus tells us in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. How? Empowered by the Spirit. What's the Spirit going to do? He's going to grant us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What's the Spirit going to do? He's going to give us the ability to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. When? In heaven? No, in this present age. How do we get this? We ask, we seek, we knock, we persist in prayer. We say, Jesus, I want to look more like you. I want to live out your commands. I want to be obedient to your will for my life. And as we persist in those prayers, the Holy Spirit will do a work of transformation, and he always answers these prayers affirmatively. Friends, I pray you're appreciating this promise from Jesus here this morning. I mean, are you recognizing today just how remarkable this teaching really is? What Jesus is promising us here. Jesus is saying that God is going to give us anything and everything we need to continue to grow as Jesus people if we'll simply persist in asking him for it. Wow. You think about your own life this morning. Jesus, I want to be a more loving person. Ask him. Jesus, I want to be a more forgiving person. Ask him. Jesus, I want to love and serve my wife better. ask Jesus for help. Jesus, I haven't been obeying my parents. Ask Jesus for help. Jesus, I wanna be a more honest person. Ask him. Jesus, I wanna be a more generous person. Ask him. Jesus, I got people in my life that I'm holding bitterness and anger towards, and I wanna be able to forgive those people. Ask Jesus. Friends, whatever it is in your life that you're longing to grow in spiritually, whatever it is that you desire to grow and look more like Jesus in, if you persist in prayer, Jesus promises that he always answers those prayers. Friends, just think how much we miss out on spiritually because we fail to ask the Lord to bless us with the divine treasures that he's promised us are ours in him. Listen to what James says in James chapter 4. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What's James saying? He's saying we ask for all the wrong things. We ask God for all these temporary, transient things that ultimately don't matter. James says, look at, ask Jesus for the right things, for the eternal treasures, for the spiritual treasures. Ask him to conform you more and more into his image. Ask him to help you grow as a Jesus person, right? Ask him to help you become more like the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. And then friends, you're going to start seeing God answer those prayers. Because God wants nothing more for us than to see us grow in conformity with his Son. Some of you may remember the name John Newton, the famous author of the great hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton was a wicked, wretched man. He was a slave trader. Traded African slaves up and down the coast and across to the New World. But one day God gripped his heart and convicted him of his sin, and he repented and he left the slave trade. He actually became a great advocate for the emancipation of slaves. It was that experience that led him to pen the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton would go on to write a whole bunch of great hymns. One of the great hymns he wrote was a hymn based on our passage this morning. Let me read for you a couple stanzas from this hymn. John Newton writes this, "Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Isn't that great? Friends, let me ask you this morning, what do you most need as you seek to grow in your walk with the Lord? In what ways are you longing to look more like Jesus? You can never ask too much when it comes to the spiritual treasures God wants to give us. So friends, let me encourage you this morning. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And know with full assurance that the Lord will be faithful to answer your prayers. Let's close in prayer together. Jesus, we thank you for this teaching this morning. And I pray that it's a great encouragement to all of us here today. Lord, as we seek to honor you, as we seek to grow in our walk with you, grow in faithfulness to your commands for our lives, the righteous requirements of your law, Lord, all of these things that you've given us in the Sermon on the Mount, these things that we recognize we fall so far short of. And Lord, we come to you this morning as we recognize our dependence on you. We come as spiritual beggars, crying out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. And Jesus, I just pray that as each of us examines our own lives and our own hearts and we think about those ways that we long to continue to grow in conformity with you, that we desire obedience to you. We want to be more and more conformed into your image, Lord. As we think about the ways that we need your transforming work in our lives, I pray that we will take this teaching to heart. That we would be people who persist passionately in prayer. That we would ask, that we would seek, that we would knock, that we would bring our longings to you. Jesus, make us more like you. Jesus, help me in this way. Jesus, I need your empowerment to be transformed so that I can love and forgive and serve and go and do all of these things you called us to. I can't do this in my own strength, Jesus. And so, Lord, I'm going to keep knocking, I'm going to keep asking, I'm going to keep seeking, and I'm going to trust your promise that you will be faithful to provide for me in these areas. Thank you for these great promises, Lord. May they encourage us today, and may we be inspired to be people who pray in light of these great truths you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, would you please stand for our benediction this morning? Comes from Jude verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and have a great week.
Hey friends, thanks for joining us online today. If you have further questions, are in need of prayer, or would like to give financially to the ministries of Lakes Free Church, I encourage you to visit our website, lakesfree.org. There you'll also find information regarding our upcoming events. You can access all of our past sermon series, along with a host of other valuable resources. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person for one of our Sunday services or other events. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.